Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
Hey, thanks for kicking off worship with some singing this morning. I'm going to invite Rob Lighthizer this morning. Rob comes to us from World Vision Organization. I'm sure that may come up a little bit in your message this morning, but we're glad to have you here sharing from God's Word for us this morning. So,
thank you so much.
Take it away.
Well, before I get going this morning, I want to just say a special compliment to the worship team. Thank you for just setting the table with a nice tone of worship this morning, and you guys do such a great job here. Pastor Susan, I really appreciate you, and just thank you. It is truly an honor to be here with you today. First and foremost, I'm a dad. My wife Megan is here with me. Our kids are at a Christian camp this weekend, and my in-laws are here with us this morning, but we live here in West Des Moines. My kids attend Des Moines Christian School, and in my full-time vocation, I am the regional church engagement director for World Vision, but occasionally get called in to do pulpit supply. And what an honor to be here at Pastor Josh's pulpit today. I've grown to really appreciate him and his ministry over the last 3 or 4 years, and just appreciate his faithfulness to the Word and just how he teaches from the Bible and out of his heart, and how well he applies it to everyday life. And so I just he'll listen to this recording, but let's give Pastor Josh a hand, just because I do want to take the moment to appreciate him. He's done a wonderful job leading this congregation to health and growth and vitality, and you guys are making a big difference in the community. And so appreciate all the different ministries that flow from this church body, whether it be the social impact that you're having, or the feeding kitchen, or the different social initiatives, and everything that you're doing around the world as well. And I also want to say just what a privilege it's been to kind of sit under his teaching as I've been watching from afar, so to speak. I've caught everyone one of the Daniel messages, and they've all been excellent. And so I love how he's kind of broken it down by month to the character, the courage, and the concern of Daniel. And one of the things that I love about his preaching is that he's given you a lot of appetizers. And as I've been in his virtual audience, it's caused me to go back to the book of Daniel and really, really dig in. And there is so much there that he's unable to cover on a Sunday, or else we'd be here for a couple years. But I want to begin today, and we're going to be in Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, and we're going to really drill down on a passage that he already covered, but I want to drill down because you don't have time to go into every nook and cranny, and it's one I want to look at today. But I want to begin with this question: have you ever been in a season where everything felt uncertain, where you wanted to trust God, but deep down you weren't sure he was actually in control? And maybe that's where some of us are at today. I remember a time a number of years ago, my wife and I were pastors in Florida, and my best friend had flown down to Florida to spend some time with us. And he and I, we were close to the intercoastal, and there's all sorts of different rivers and waterways you can take. And we decided one day we were going to rent some kayaks, and we were going to paddle out to some islands and kind of check things out. And we went to the rental place to get the kayaks, and they said, well, there's a storm about 2 or 3 hours away, but you guys should make it back in time. You just, cruise over there. The storm's not even going to pass. Well, no sooner had we got our kayaks, gone across the channel, the saltwater channel, we got to the island, then all of a sudden we looked, and there was a storm quickly approaching. So being the smart, where instead of taking cover on the island, we said, we probably should make a run for it and jump in the kayaks. No sooner had we got in the kayaks then I'm not kidding, and I'm not exaggerating, and my wife will testify this, lightning bolts were striking the water around us, and all of a sudden the visibility was gone, there was boats ripping in and out of the channel, and we were trying to go horizontally across where the boat channel was. I have never been so scared in my life. I thought for sure one of the boats was going to strike us, and then I was going to get eaten by a bull shark. You know, as I think about bull sharks, lightning, waves, and boats, I think of the political division, instability, wars, global conflict, economic instability. Maybe inflation is starting to catch up with us. The speed of technology, moral confusion, mental health issues, declining trust in institutions. And if you're feeling any of this tension, I know I am, you're not alone. But what if confidence in God isn't about what you see, it's about who He is? Let me say that again. What if confidence in God isn't about what you see around us or what I see, it's about who He is? So then it begs the question, how do we build this type of confidence, the kind that doesn't crumble when life does? How do we actually trust who God is when what we see doesn't make sense? And I don't know about you, but a lot of the last couple years in our nation have not made a lot of sense. The answer might surprise you, though. It's not about trying harder, doing more, or pretending everything's fine. It's about worship. It's about choosing to praise in the panic, so to speak. And so, as we work towards our main verses today, I want to begin in chapter 2, verse 17. And we're not going to spend a lot of time there, but this is going to help set the table for the main verses that we're going to look at. And again, in verse 17, it says this, "Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matters to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah," that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as Josh so eloquently preached on that passage, and Daniel had been summoned by the king, or volunteered, so to speak, to interpret this dream, and the king's kind of upset, and he's tearing his hair out, and he wants, and people are going to die unless this dream is interpreted. And so it comes across that Daniel, this Hebrew slave, can come in, he can interpret the dream. And he actually, in verse 18, does something that's, I think, pretty interesting. He says this, he goes to the house and explains to his friends, and then he urges them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now, this is a verse that I've read over a lot of different times. I've never put much significance in this verse, but I think it's really powerful in this, that it demonstrates the power of community. Do you see that there? That Daniel didn't just go off in a closet somewhere by himself, and he does that later on when he's praying in his in the upper room closet. But in this instance, he goes and seeks out his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they get on their knees together, and he encourages them to pray. In Westview today, we're not going to spend a lot of time here, but this one is for free. I would encourage you to keep going down the path that you're going down as a church, where you're coming together, you're being faithful in worship, because out of that worship will come a spiritual flow for your life. It'll become a missional vision, so to speak, in which this church right here can impact the greater Des Moines area. As you are united, so the effectiveness of this church will be. Then continuing in Daniel chapter 2, verses 19, it says this, "During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, 'Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we have asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king.'" And one of the things that's so powerful before we get to the, another thing that's so powerful before we get to the main idea is this, that God has given Daniel the explanation, with his friends there in their prayer closet. And Daniel chooses to praise God before he even delivers the message to the king. That's a confidence there. That's a confidence knowing that the sovereign Lord of the universe has spoken, and at a word of his mouth, Daniel takes confidence in that, and immediately he offers his praise to the Lord. You know, oftentimes in my prayer life, or when I sense the Lord is speaking to me, I don't display that level of confidence. Sometimes I'm very weak in my faith. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, that couldn't be you. Have you ever been there where you thought the Lord might be saying something? I know that I have, and so I'll just pick on myself today. But let's move to the main idea today, and it's simply this. When life feels uncertain, we can worship with confidence because our God holds wisdom, he rules every season, and he reveals what's hidden. When we face uncertainty, our natural instinct is to demand answers. Lord, what are you doing in America right now? Why are we so polarized? Lord, what are you doing around the world? What are you doing in Israel? What are you doing in Africa? We try to control the outcomes or figure everything out for ourselves. But Daniel reminds us that the foundation for confidence isn't first in answers, it's in the character of God. And that brings us to our first point today, and it's simply this, and it's found in verse 20, that God holds all wisdom and power. The God that you worship here at Westview, the God of the Bible, the God that the sending network with, the organization that you're a part of, the Reformed tradition that you come out of, that tradition holds dearly that the God of the Bible alone is to be worshipped because he holds all wisdom and power. In that, in verse 20, it says, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. You know, as I was preparing for this message and listening to Pastor Josh's wonderful sermons and teachings on this, it got me thinking that while, yes, Daniel is the main character in this story, the main human character in this story, and yes, if we were at the Academy Awards, he would get the award for Best Supporting Actor, the real main character in this story is the God of the Bible. And as we see, he is orchestrating the pieces. He is orchestrating the rise of kings, the fall of kings, the seasons. Everything that goes into this story, the God of the Bible is the architect that is weaving his hand through the story, through the narrative. You know, I think of it like this. I saw Coach Brian Springer yesterday, my son's soccer coach at Des Moines Christian. Brian, give a wave there. We were both trying to burn off some calories at the YMCA yesterday, and we got to talking about how fast time goes. He has young kids. I have a 17-year-old senior, almost forgot there, and a 15-year-old freshman at Des Moines Christian. And I can remember just yesterday when they were the same age as Brian's. And Brian was, you know, talking from a father's heart about how he and his wife were just trying to capture these moments with their kids. And it got me reflecting and thinking back to how when Megan and I were pastoring in Florida, I remember when our son Hudson came along and then Harper, we would play with them in the backyard. And it didn't matter if it was t-ball, baseball, soccer, scuba diving at the beach. We always made them feel like, yes, they were the champion on the soccer field. Or yes, they were the champion on the basketball court. Now, occasionally as a dad, I would swat one and say, get that out of here. But, we wanted them to feel like they were in control. But ultimately, as their father, ultimately as their mother, we were the one orchestrating everything. We were the one, you know, making sure that that they were safe. We were the one making sure that they were on the right path. And I think in a lot of ways, that's how the God of the Bible is. Yes, we can be used by God in great ways like Daniel was, but ultimately, he is in control. And I love the fact that, backing up to chapter 1, verse 9, when Daniel's taken out of Judah, brought into Babylon here, and in verse 9 it says, now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. Check that out. It says that now God. And in this, it's just picking up on themes that run throughout the Bible. In Psalm 119, verses 2 through 3, we see the psalmist, the poet there saying, praise his name now and forevermore. In Proverbs 2:6, it says, the Lord gives wisdom, knowledge, and knowledge comes from his mouth. God is the chess master. God is the one that puts all the pieces in place. One of my favorite stories that illustrates this so eloquently, and I love the Old Testament for the vividness of its stories, it's found in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, and I call it the miracle of Dothan there. Elisha, who is one kind of an understudy to the great prophet Elijah, is being chased by the king of Aram, and the king of Aram is after him. Elisha has a bounty on his head, and they're in the city of Dothan. Elisha and his understudy, or his junior prophet, is with him, his servant, so to speak. And the servant is freaking out in this passage, like, hey, we're toast. It's over for us. And Elijah prays to the God of heaven, and in this awesome vision, Elijah asks God, open my servant's eyes. And all of a sudden, he opens those eyes, and what does he see encamped around the city? The angel armies of God encamped around the city. One of the most powerful visions in Scripture. And it's actually, I mean, this one's for free here, but it actually is what Paul is picking up on in Philippians when he says that the armies of God camp around us, when he says that the peace of God camps around our mind. It's military language that Paul's hearing, and I can't help but think that he's picking up on this vision from Elijah there, that the God of the universe is in control. He holds all wisdom and power. I think of another Old Testament patriarch, the story of Joseph, and we don't have too much time to talk about it today, but in his story, in Genesis chapter 37 through 50, he's another one that has the ability to interpret dreams, and that power comes from the Lord. And, you know, as you'll recall in his story, he's chucked into a pit by his brothers, left for dead, so to speak, and he cries out in anguish, and he's captured, he's brought out of the hole by Midian traders, sold off to slavery in Egypt, eventually rises to power. They're kind of a mid-level manager, so to speak. And then because of some false accusations, is put back in prison. And you know, if the story ended there, it'd be one thing. I mean, he was left for dead twice, so to speak. Once in a pit, and then once in prison. But while in prison, God is orchestrating his story too. And again, he's summoned before Pharaoh, and he hears from the Lord. And he gives this interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams, and he essentially saves the ancient Middle East from famine there. And he rises to power again, second only to Pharaoh in the land. And he's reunited with his brothers. And at that moment, when he could have been so full of vengeance, so full of bitterness and vile, he says this, what you meant for evil, God intended for good. Recognizing that God was ultimately the one that put him in the pit, put him in the prison, and put him in the palace. Three P's there. Did you like that? When you face what you don't understand, when I face what I don't understand, we need to start with the who and praise the one who already holds the answer. Friends, he's either going to flip the checkerboard or the chessboard and show you a move you've never seen before, or he's going to do a deep work in your own life where you're more accepting of the surroundings but open to his transforming power. Friends, today, Daniel never made it out of captivity. Again, he may have probably died in captivity. He was under probably four or five crazy kings that were selfish, diabolical, egotistical, weird. Scripture doesn't have him returning to the palace of Judah and restoring the nation of Israel. No, he was faithful. And unless we look at him as a superhero, I think not. I think he was more a man that recognized what was going on around him and said, you know what, Lord, this is where you have me for this. If God holds all wisdom and power, it makes sense that he also rules every season. Our confidence grows when we remember that no matter how chaotic life seems, he is in control. And this leads me to my second point, and it's simply this, in verse 21. It's very textual. God rules every season and every kings. It says he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets them up. And another one of my stories, my childhood stories, one of my favorite ones from the Old Testament is found in Joshua chapter 10 and verses 12 through 14. And in this, Joshua is leading the nation of Israel through, you know, kind of in the promised land, so to speak, and they're doing battle against the enemies of God and conquering and trying to live this new community out, so to speak. And in this passage, this is a beautiful passage here, another amazing story. Again, who says that the Bible is boring? It's not at all. And in this passage, Joshua actually has the audacity to pray that the sun would stand still. And it does. It's absolutely amazing. But you know what? The power for the sun to stand still didn't come from Joshua. It came from the God of the universe who rules every season and every king. And the psalmist says this in Psalm 31, 15, my times are in your hands. In Psalm 75, 6 and 7, it says, God alone brings down and exalt. In James 4, 14, it says, life is fleeting, here today and gone tomorrow. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about all this list of characters who lived by faith because they knew that they may not see the culmination of their dream, but yet the God of the Bible was the one that was orchestrating it all, in charge of every season. As one person says, he controls the clocks and the crown. Friends, today, don't let your current season define God's power. Let God's power redefine your season. You see, as I think about it, one of the things that I struggle with is control. I want to be the general manager of the universe. I don't know, is anyone else in that role? I want everything to work out. I want my elected officials. I want my way. I want everything to work out for my kids. I want this to go this way. I want this to go that way. I want my plans to succeed. But ultimately, it's not about me. And that's one of the beautiful things that I see in this passage is that not only is Daniel proclaiming this, not only is Daniel speaking so eloquently to this, we actually see this happen in the passage. In the book of Daniel, there's not one crazy king. There's not two crazy kings. There's not three crazy kings. There's not four crazy kings. There's actually also the ruler from Judah who was a knucklehead himself that got the people into this place in the first place. Five bad leaders that the Lord laid low. Think about that. In Daniel chapter 4, he takes Nebuchadnezzar and makes him so to act like a wild animal. Think about that. Friends, today, if we believe this book, and I know you do, if I believe this book, and I do, we have to believe that God is in charge of the season that we're in now, that he's in charge of who's the president. You may like it, you may not like it, but God is in control of that. You know, I'm a reader of history. And one of the books that I read recently, in fact, I just finished it yesterday, was John Meacham's new book on Abraham Lincoln. It's magisterial in tone and in tenor. It's an excellent book about Abraham Lincoln. And one of the things I struggle with from just kind of being a citizen of the United States and, you know, just seeing that the providential hand of God on our country, and not in a weird way, but knowing that the Lord has, you know, raised America up to be a blessing to other nations. And one of the things that I struggle with is why sometimes good leaders are taken out before they have a chance to really put into play things that would, or policies or procedures or cultural or social change that would really bring about positive change for everyone. And as I read Meacham's work, I was really saddened again and again. It's when Abraham Lincoln shot by John Wilkes Booth in the theater, to think about the fact that, Lord, why did you take him out? Not that the Lord did well. Why did you allow him to be taken out? Think about the course we were on, the cultural change, and think about the diversion that happened when all of a sudden we had this person that wasn't perfect, but was leading us into a space of a better space as far as racial unity, equality for people, a better tone for our country. And all of a sudden, because of that, we get Andrew Johnson in the White House that is not interested in any of that at all. And I struggle with that. I struggle with that with different historical characters in the Bible. I struggle that with different historical figures in the world or in America. And I don't know what the answer to that is. But friends, today, I have to trust that the same God that wrote the book of Genesis, that wrote the Pentateuch, that penned the inspiration for the prophets, that wrote the second half of the Bible, the New Testament, is the same God today. And I just want to remind you of that today, that he's not a blind person, clockmaker that just wound things up and released it and said, okay, in a million years, I'm going to come back. No, he's involved with the intimate details of our lives. And that brings me to my third and final point today. Is it simply this, that God reveals what's hidden in darkness. In verse 22, it says this, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Daniel comes out of the darkness of Judah. And, when he's taken into captivity, it's not because Judah is some righteous country that's, has the gold star badge on their shirt because they've done everything right. And, poor old Judah, they got pulled, No, they deserved what they got. They were involved in idolatry. They had turned away from God. They had turned away from the ways of God. They weren't treating each other right. They weren't treating the nations around them right. They were involved in all sorts of evilness. And the punishment of God comes upon Judah. And so when Daniel is taken into Babylon, it's almost as if he's going from darkness to even more darkness. But you know what? The God of the Bible is an illuminator of what is seen, and he brings clarity and hope. And this is found all throughout Scripture. In Job chapter 12, some great parallels there between where it talks about that the God of the Bible is the one who brings light into darkness. In Psalm 139, 11 through 12, it says, darkness is light to him. In John 8, 12, it says, Jesus, the light of the world. And in the midst of this darkness here, God uses Daniel to light a bonfire that looks forward to the day when one day everything will be made new. In fact, in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel drops this idea, this concept, this future reality of one like the Son of Man. And while the original audience probably didn't fully understand it, and I don't know that we fully understand it, again, as Pastor Josh has said, there's been a lot of ink spilled about, some of these passages. But what we see there is an appetizer, a foretaste, a light in the darkness, a reflection of something better that is to come. A kingdom that is not like the Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians, or even Judah on its best day, or Israel on its best day. It looks forward to a kingdom that will never perish, a kingdom that will go forever in eternity, a kingdom that where every tear will be wiped away and every sorrow will be made no more. And in that darkness, God shines the light. I think to myself, Lord, today, in the culture in the 21st century that seems so dark, confused, and hopeless, would you light me on fire? Would you illuminate my life to reflect your glory? Would you use me like you used Daniel? Would you cause me to radiate your glory like you did it for Daniel, so that others would be drawn to the kingdom? If he did it for Daniel, he'll do it for us. As we get ready to close, maybe as the worship team or the musicians come back up, I want to simply ask you a couple questions. As we think about verses 20 and 22 here in Daniel chapter 2, in this idea, this reality that God holds all wisdom and power, he raises up kings and governs seasons, and he probes the deepest mysteries. I want to ask you this question. I'm asking, if there was a mirror right in front of me, I'd ask myself the same question. What is God saying to me, and what am I going to do about it? When you don't understand the mystery, when I don't understand the mystery, we need to choose to worship anyway. Because he holds wisdom, he rules seasons, and reveals light. And that's why Daniel could praise in Babylon, and why we can praise in any season, why we can praise in the panic. And so with the worship team kind of just playing lightly, what I'd like to do today is just have a few moments of reflection and just ask the Lord those questions. Lord, what are you saying to me, and what am I going to do about it? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe the worship team could just play in the background. I just want to give you a chance to respond. Maybe you're out there today and, you know, when you turn on the news or Fox, CNN, MSNBC, Wall Street Journal, Newsweek, wherever it is, BBC, wherever it is you get your news, and it just freaks you out. And you think like, oh, I need to wrestle this, you know, there has to be a political answer. There has to be this or that. And you get so worked up inside that you've maybe lost your joy. And maybe just ask the Lord, hey, Lord, would you restore unto me the joy of my salvation? Maybe as you look around at people that have different belief systems than you, or political persuasions, or you know, cultural persuasions, or what, and you find yourself not liking people anymore, where before you could kind of tolerate, or more than just tolerate, where you could have someone over for a beer or for coffee or something, and you got along, but now you've got this thing in your heart where you're saying, like, I don't even want to talk to them anymore. I would say that that's not of the Lord. And I would just, you know, this morning, I would just challenge you. Just over the next moment, Lord, is there anyone I've kind of maybe written off because they were a Democrat, or they were a Republican, or they were a conservative, or they're a liberal, or maybe there's a family member. Just ask the Lord to bring that to your attention this morning, and let's just take a few moments to just pray into that space. You know, maybe there's a family member or a friend or a situation that you think it's too far gone. Not even God could reach that person. I want to challenge us today that this Daniel shows us, oh yes, he can. God can reach that person. I think of an instance in my own life that I'm going to take to the Lord. So let's pray into that space for the next few minutes. Lord, today I thank you for the opportunity to share just a little bit about what you've laid on my heart through just being part of the virtual community at Westview, leaning into the teaching and sermons of Pastor Josh and having you speak to me. And Father, today I just pray that as I've demonstrated up here, that people would take the appetizers that Josh lays out every week and that they would dive deeper into Scripture. Lord, that the Scripture would be the catalyst through the Holy Spirit to transform our lives, Lord. Lord, we don't want just head knowledge. We want transformation. Lord, we don't want just transformation for ourselves. We want transformation for this whole area around Westview. Lord, I pray that the winds of revival would blow swiftly through this place, and I pray that this church would be used as a catalyst for a different way of carrying out the kingdom of God in the 21st century. Lord, I'm just so grateful for the opportunity. I'm thankful for the men and women of Scripture that you've put there as examples. I'm thanking you for Daniel, Lord, and his faithfulness. But Lord, ultimately, I'm most thankful for you and what you've done for us through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Lord, just be with us today. And Lord, thank you that it's Pancake Sunday at Westview. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.